Thank you, Frank. Scripture tells us it will be wonderful there, huh? In the passage that Brother Ricky read this morning, it talks about those who have ears to hear. And it is often that Jesus used that phrase, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it's repeated many times for each of the churches in Asia, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So it brings up the question, how do we hear? Not how do we use our ears, but how do we actually hear? Do we hear with the right intention? Do we hear with the right focus? Do we hear with the right frame of mind and spirit? The scriptures tell us that there's three types of hearers. One being those that are dull of hearing. We read about those this morning back in Matthew 13 and in verses 13, 14, and 15. Even the prophets talked about those whose hearts had become dull. And it wasn't that their ears weren't working right. It was just that they weren't hearing with the right attitude, with the right focus and frame of mind. Understanding God's truths and turning from sin and being saved require a certain right hearing. The second kind of hearer are those with itching ears. Timothy was told of by Apostle Paul over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4 at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, Paul said, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. It wasn't that they had some sort of physical malady where their ears, they had to scratch them all the time either. It wasn't that thing. It was that they desired, their ears, they desired, they were itching to hear something that pleased them. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, those things that are not true. False teaching, in other words. It is no different today that some folks itch to hear what pleases them. I want to hear teaching about such and such. Well, if you look for it and around enough, you can find a teaching on just about whatever you want to be taught. If your ears hitch to tell you that all you have to do is believe, then you can find someone to teach you that. If you want to hear anything else of Scripture that can be taught, look far enough and wide enough, and you'll find something that will tickle your ears, something that will please your own desires and your own way of thinking. And the third kind of hearer is found in Luke chapter 8 at verse 15. Jesus talked about this kind of hearer in the parable of the soils. Luke chapter 8 at verse 15. You remember the parable of the soils? There are four different kinds of soils listed in four seeds sown into the same seed sown into those four different soils. Actually, that's a teaching, a parable about four kinds of hearts that would receive the word. In verse 15, the ones that fell on the good ground, the seed that fell on the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The one with the good heart is the hearer that we ought to be. We ought to be listening to God's word, whether reading it or hearing it, with the right intention, the right frame of mind, the right heart, a heart of willingness, a heart of willing to do what we hear. This morning I want to talk about the importance, first of all, of this, the essentialness of hearing right. And then I want to talk about the steps to help us to become better listeners. It is important to hear right. We're told in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that the Bereans listened with willingness. They received the word with all readiness. They were anxious to hear the word. And then they went to the verses. They went to the Bible. They went to the scriptures that was before them that they had in their possession. They went to make sure that what they had heard was right according to the word, according to God's word. So they heard it with the right attitude. the desire of wanting the truth, the desire of needing the truth, and they validated that with Scripture, not just taking someone's word for it. It is essential for us, just as well today, to be good listeners and good hearers of the word. It's essential, one thing, for being blessed. And back in Matthew at chapter 13, where Ricky read this morning, let's look at that one more time at verse 16. Matthew 13 at verse 16. Jesus said, "But blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." In other words, they were looking and hearing with the right perspective, with the right attitude. He said, in verse 17, "For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they desire to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." The prophets and righteous men of old spoke as they were given the words by God to speak, but they never saw what they prophesied about. Daniel prophesied, Moses prophesied, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all the minor prophets, they all prophesied about future events that they didn't live long enough to see take place and come to fruition. They desired to see it because they trusted and believed God, but they didn't live that long. Jesus said, "You're blessed because you have lived in a time where those things have come about that you can see and hear." And we are even farther in their future from them. We certainly have, you know, when Jesus said that, they didn't have this. They didn't have a Bible. They had the old scriptures that prophesied about the Christ and led them to the new covenant. But they didn't have in one book the New Testament. We're blessed to have that we can read and we can visualize the words and we can compare what's said in the New Testament to the Old Testament prophecies and validate what we're being told through Scripture. We're blessed because we can sit and listen to someone preach the word and then go back to the Scriptures that we have in our possession. I don't know of many households probably in this country that don't possess at least one Bible, whatever the translation may be. They've got one. Somebody gave it to them or they procured it for themselves. And they can validate then the things that they hear, if they just will validate by going back and verifying through Scripture. So it's essential to be blessed. Didn't Paul say that all the spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus our Lord? That comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Without reading and without listening to what the Scriptures tell us, we don't know about those spiritual blessings. We don't know that all those blessings are in Christ Jesus. Reading is essential also, and hearing is essential to our saving faith. We can have faith, but we can also have a faith that's not a saving faith. We can have a faith in whatever somebody wants to tell us. We can believe if we choose to. But did Paul not say that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Romans 10, verse 17. The real true faith, saving faith, then comes from hearing God's word. We miss out on these blessings. We miss out on this saving faith if we're not good hearers of the word. It's essential also to bearing fruit. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the ones who heard that word that were compared to the good soil were the ones that were fruitful in what they heard. We don't know how to be fruitful unless we hear the word, do we? We don't know how to be fruitful unless that pleasing God and being fruitful, unless we know what pleases God. And how do we know that? From hearing the verses, from hearing the word. It's essential also to preventing apostasy. How many people fall away from not continuing diligently to be in the word? You know someone, and I know folks, and all of us know folks who used to be present in the assembling of ourselves together. But now you don't see them on Sundays or Wednesdays or Sunday evenings or other times. They've fallen away to a certain extent. And the longer they stay away, the farther they fall away. Well, what is it that brings them back? Hearing the word. Someone goes to them with the presence of forethought to bring them back. And what do they use to bring them back? The word, the testimony, the scriptures. And when they hear that, upon hearing that, if their heart is right, brings them back. It's essential to prevent apostasy. Look at the Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 2, the first couple of verses in Hebrews 2. It's a very encouraging statement that the Hebrew writer makes. Hebrews chapter 2, the first couple of verses. He talks about hearing. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. In other words, we need to pay attention to it. This comment that Jesus made so many times, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, that's the signification that what's being said or about to be said or just has been said is so important that you need to listen intently. And the Hebrew writer says in verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. We need to listen that much closer, that much stronger to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression of disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? When Jesus taught, people listened. And the ones who listened then took that word further to the others who weren't there to hear the Lord, but they heard the apostles speak. That would be us and those that came before us and after the Lord. It's essential that we hear with that right perspective of desiring the truth. And then it's essential that we hear with the right attitude and the right heart to avoid rejection then and condemnation. In Matthew chapter 12, at verse 41, Matthew 12 and verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up. Have you ever given some consideration to these two verses? Turn there with me if you're not already there. Matthew chapter 12 at verse 41. There's a strong statement that's made here by our Lord. Matthew 12, 41. We don't even know who the men of Nineveh were, other than they were Ninevites who lived back in the Old Testament time period, right? It says, though, that the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. In other words, those people who lived at the time Jesus lived, they didn't know those people from Nineveh either. They lived a lot longer in the past than what those people were able to know. Hundreds of years before Jesus lived, the men of Nineveh, they heard the preaching of Jonah, that same Jonah that was caught in the belly of the great fish. Matter of fact, he was caught in the belly of the great fish because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He had a racial issue. He didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't want them saved. He was afraid if he went and preached God's word, they'd hear it and they'd be saved, or they'd have atonement. So he had an issue with that, and he went the other way. He went the wrong way. Got on a boat, got thrown out of the boat in the belly of the big fish. He'd come out of there, you know where he went? Nineveh. Quick. And he preached to those in Nineveh on that day. And they heard one lesson, one prophecy, one teaching from Jonah, and they repented, the Bible tells us. Because of that, Jesus says here that the men of Nineveh, those people who heard one lesson and repented, they'll rise up in the judgment with the generation that lived in Jesus' time. And it says, and condemn it. You know why? Because the men of Nineveh heard the one teaching and repented. Those in Jesus' time heard him speak and turned a blind eye. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe him. They didn't hear with the right attitude. They didn't validate what he was saying. And the men of Nineveh did with Jonah. He says, but look what he says in the last part of verse 41, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus was by far greater than Jonah. Jesus, my goodness, was the Son of God, not Jonah. Jesus was much greater than Jonah, but the men of that time period when Jesus lived and taught, they didn't listen. They were listening, but they weren't hearing. Verse 42, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Remember the queen of the south, otherwise known as the queen of Sheba? Queen of Sheba had heard about King Solomon and all his wealth and all his knowledge and wisdom. And she went a long way, traveled a great distance to meet with Solomon and to see and to hear. And scriptures say that it caused her to be faint when she saw all that he had and heard him speak. The reason that she will judge that generation that lived when Jesus lived is because of the great distance and the great effort she put out to go and to see and to find out and validate. People weren't doing that with Jesus. People still don't do that today. You reckon that the men of Nineveh and the queen of the south will rise up in judgment and condemn this generation? Absolutely. People who live in the same time period we live, and every generation between us and Christ that lived before us will be condemned by the men of Nineveh and the queen of Sheba for their attitude and their hearing with a right heart. And when I say heart, you know I'm talking about the Bible heart, the mind. What a shame it would be to be condemned by people we never even knew that were more willing to listen than we are. And I'm telling you, there's people that live in our generation, people that you know and that I know, that don't care anything about hearing the Word of God. And when they do hear it, they turn away from it. It doesn't sink into that good soil. If we don't continue diligently in the Word, if we were to stay away from the Word to the point of that we fall away, the condemnation is ours. The same condemnation is that generation that Jesus spoke to. That same eternal condemnation. What a pity for someone who lives in a time period where the Bible is freely given and freely accessible. We give Bibles out all the time. Tommy and Joe W. and Nancy and those who work with the folks over there at the rehab center. We give Bibles out every week, free. Here, take it. Just go use it. Somebody comes in here, we'll offer them a free Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. Make sure you have it. If you know someone that doesn't have one, you let us know. We'll make sure they get one. No reason not to have God's Word. And people still don't take heed. They don't listen to it. Hopefully, this has caused you to understand that every time we have opportunity, and somewhat on a daily basis, we need to take heed to the hearing of God's Word. Don't have to wait till Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday when we read together. Hopefully you're in the Bible every day. But how can we improve our listening is the next question. If we just read through scriptures, how do we improve our hearing? Here's some things that maybe we can put into action. First of all, make listening an act of worship. And that almost sounds like it should be second nature to a Christian, but make listening an act of worship. In other words, how you listen to God's Word is a direct indication of how dedicated you are to Him. Let me repeat that. How you listen to God's Word is a direct relationship with how you perceive your dedication to God. How dedicated are you to God, His Word, His truth, and His Son? That's what causes you to listen either better or worse. It's the attitude we go to the Scripture with. Some folks will read through, or even here on Sunday morning, some folks will flip the pages of their Bible, but they really don't get what the Scripture says. And I'm not faulting you for that. I'm saying that with more diligence in understanding the Scripture, we can have a better retaining of the Scripture. The last 9 weeks on Sunday evenings, how many of you have been here and have retained? Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control. You recall those words, and a lot of you can repeat them because we've gone over them so many times. Rote learning, repetitive reading and understanding, that kind of learning is beneficial. Sometimes it takes that kind of learning for us to retain what we're reading or what we hear spoken. And almost, I know for a lot of preachers, for myself, it sometimes feels redundant, the things that we say. But at the same time, we know that a lot of folks have to hear the same thing multiple times before it sinks in. I'm that way. If I'm listening to something, I'll have to hear it multiple times. If you're listening to a song on the radio, Do you pick up all the words to it the first time? No. But the next time you hear it, the next time you hear it, the next time, you pretty soon you've got all those words. That's how you learned it. You just learned it over time. Well, the study of the Bible is a lot that same way with a lot of folks. They have to hear it multiple times to really get it and to retain it. Listen from first to last, secondly. Make it a worshipful event for you. And listen from first to last. Listen to the entire thing. When Ricky stood up to read, I'll ask you this. When Ricky stood up to read, were you reading along with him, or were you listening to everything from first to last, from he started till he got through, or did something distract you? A lot of times, if there's 8 or 9 verses, along about the middle of it, something, we allow ourselves to be distracted. And when we do that, we've lost the essence of what's being said, or what's being read. We hear the words, but we don't hear the words. There's a difference. We hear them, but they don't sink in. They don't register, and therefore they don't stay with us. If we make it an act of worship and we listen from first to last, the listening gets better. The retaining gets better. And then read along in your Bible. When Rick or whoever's reading, or when I'm reading a scripture, you know, I tell you, I like to hear those pages turn. I do, because you're going there. You're going to read with the reader this passage that's being read. It is a proven fact that we retain more and quicker what we see and hear simultaneously. If you hear it, that's one thing. If you see it, that's one thing. But if you hear it and see it, you retain it quicker and more readily. So it's important. Make it an act of worship. Read, hear from first to last, and read along with the scripture that's being read. That just makes sense. Don't we encourage our kids to do that when they were in school? Why don't mom and dad and grandma and grandpa do the same thing? Just makes good sense. Listen with faith. Sometimes we don't listen with the willingness to accept and believe. Now, not everything you hear read that you need to accept and believe. There's some passages in Scripture that were not said or spoken by an inspired person. There are. We talk about a passage in that Peter spoke, or that, excuse me, John, John 9:31. That we know that God does not hear sinners. That was not spoken by an inspired person. That was spoken by a blind guy, remember? They were trying to get him to convince them, who healed you? Well, Jesus, you know that. And in the conversation, he uttered those words. Well, we know that God does not hear the prayer of sinners. It wasn't by inspiration he said that. But because it's in our scripture, we can believe that what he said was his truth. And therefore, we can understand it to be our truth, but it was not inspired. We have to understand the difference, right? That's hearing with the right attitude and that understanding and willingness to accept it and believe it. Hear with fervor. Listen with faith. Hebrews chapter 4, come with me. Hebrews chapter 4, the first couple of verses. Hebrews 4. See, I don't hear any pages turning right now. I know you got your Bible. Hebrews 4, the first 3 verses. Or first 2 verses, read. Therefore, the Hebrew writer says, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, the them and those in that paragraph is the ones in the wilderness. If you go back and look at the last 4 verses in chapter 3, it's talking about failure of the wilderness wanderers to make it through that. We've talked about before, they died, the first generation that went into the wilderness out of Egypt, they died in the wilderness for disbelief. Here the Hebrew writer explains that a little bit further. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, there's still a promise yet to enter his rest. That's that great rest beyond this life, eternal salvation. Let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. There's a chance for us to come short of it. If we don't be diligent in doing what we're supposed to do that God set about for us to do. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. There was a gospel preached to them. Gospel simply means good news. The good news that Moses gave them was God's going to take you out of Egypt. He's going to lead us to a land of just glowing with milk and honey. He's going to take care of all the people that are in our way. He's going to give us this land. And they grumbled and they did not believe it. And they perished in the wilderness. The gospel was preached to us, the Hebrew writer says, as well as to them. But the word which they heard, talking about those in the wilderness, the word they heard didn't profit them. Because it wasn't mixed with faith. They heard it, but they didn't believe it. They heard what Moses said, but they didn't believe it. They didn't have the willingness to accept it, trust it, and then go with it. The same failure to enter the rest exists for people today as it did for those in the Hebrew writer's generation, the first century. Failure to listen with faith. And then lastly, listen with a mind to act. Take what we read. How often does James talk about being doers of the word in following through? We talk about in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, those things that we should be about. We talked in 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 11, about those characteristics, the Christian graces, faith, virtue, knowledge, godliness, etc., perseverance. Those things are fruit of the Spirit. Those things we hear, we listen, and we do. Failure to listen through faith and then put into action will be no better off than those in the wilderness. There's any number of more verses I could cite. In fact, you might take a look at Isaiah chapter 55, the first few verses there. Isaiah chapter 59. That talks about when God doesn't hear us. There's only really one time God doesn't hear us, is when our sins get between us and Him. Isaiah 59 tells us, our sins have separated us from our God. Other than that, He listens. He's a good listener. He's a faithful listener. And we ought to be the same. We ought to be good listeners and faithful listeners and listeners who do what we hear. Or, in the case of sin, not do what we hear. Maybe that's a bigger problem. Might not be a big problem to do what we hear that's good, but a bigger problem to stay away from the sin that we hear that we're not supposed to do. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus' words are written there. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? All Jesus taught was, hear the word, be doers of the word, be pleasing to God, and we can do that, and don't even have to be perfect at it. We can do that and be spotless and blameless through the sacrifice that Jesus gave to us on Calvary so long ago. That's the great news that everybody needs to hear. If you're here this morning and you've heard that good news and you've not ever responded to it, then by all means, why would you wait another day? You've been a hearer of the word for I don't know how long. And you may not have ever responded to the gospel, or you might have responded and not sure that when you responded, did you really understand everything that you thought you did then? I've had people come to me and say, I think I need to be baptized again. Well, you can only be baptized one time, rightly. Anything else than that doesn't matter. If you maybe were not baptized understanding the first go-around, then you need to be baptized rightly. And I'll tell you, if you were baptized rightly the first time, a second baptism won't do any good. If you're not sure about those things, let's sit down and go through God's word and let's see what God says to say about it. We can hear together what He says. Christian, this morning, if your life is not in line with God's will for you and you know it, then hear what the Scripture says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Jesus said it. He still offers the invitation on a daily basis. And especially this morning, if that's you, won't you come while together we stand and we sing.